tonight, Thomas bought Taco Bell for our high school Bible study and bought it specifically for one of my daughters. But because he didn't buy quesadillas, she didn't eat it. And also no one else ate it.
Except the ants.
Yeah, a lot of ants ate the Taco Bell.
We do our Bible study in the park now because of, you know, it feels right.
Oh, it's definitely right.
Yeah, it's not, we're not in a room balled up together. It's unkind to do that, so we do it in the park. And I feel a lot better about it when we do it in the park.
Honestly, this is definitely the place to do it. However, not a lot of people were into the, just the beef paste glory of the Taco Bell.
It'll be a while before I go back there for us, I believe. That Chow Chow is still just walking around here. It's like I had an image today while that was happening that someone like came and dropped it off and said, I'll be back in an hour. Just like to let it play and then is going to come back and get it.
And the Chow Chow perfectly stays. There's a dog roaming around. It looks like a tiny little bear. And it just perfectly stays in the confines of this park.
Right now we are sitting in a park at Golden Hour. Someone has a fire and we're downwind of it. And it's like the best weather that summer has ever afforded. You know, it's like 75 right now
and
breezy.
Now, the Golden Hour sun is flecking through the leaves of a silver maple. And Thomas is sitting in the shade of a willow oak. And it would be difficult to imagine a more pleasant scenario. The only way that you could ruin this it would be like with the ant-ridden beef paste of a Taco Bell cheesy crunch burrito.
Should we tell them about what happened yesterday?
Let's go.
Stoop Bagels happened yesterday.
Yeah.
That was an idea thought of on this podcast.
And like, by the way, so Thomas brought a bagel sandwich to my house on Saturday morning at no cost to me. It was like Isaiah chapter 55 lived out in real life. Come to me, all you who are hungry, and come get a breakfast bagel without money and without cost.
I'm not saying this. I didn't bring this up in order to like brag. This was more of like a, hey, this is happening. Next time you want in, next time this happens, tell me and get in.
Let me say this. If there was ever an appropriate flex, it's right here, right now.
I'm not much of a flexer.
You can flex.
Yeah, but I don't do it often. Right?
But this is an appropriate flex.
Okay.
So what Thomas made for me was a sesame seed bagel, my favorite kind of bagel, by the way, with bacon, Swiss, and scrambled egg. And let me tell you, number one, up until this moment, up until last Saturday, I would tell you the best sandwich in Oak Ridge, Tennessee was a hot bagel sandwich. That's a sesame seed bagel with scrambled egg, bacon, and Swiss. And I would go this far. A hot bagel closing was an emotionally sad time for me. I'm not worried about it anymore. Oh. I wolfed down that Thomas Cox bagel witch in about 13 seconds, and I was like, I'm good. Hot bagel can close. I'm good.
I was pretty proud of that batch.
Yeah, dude, that was a good bagel. And it's much better than the Taco Bell tacos, two boxes of tacos that we did not get eaten in our Bible study.
I'm not a big Taco Bell guy. This is one of our less humorous opens to our show, I'll say that.
That's fine.
Who needs the humor all the time, you know? We're a dramatic comedy.
This is about facts.
That's what we are, right?
This podcast is about facts.
This
Everybody
isn't a TV
that.
Show. How dare me?
I feel like I was trying to like bump sets for some spikes by you, and you just didn't spike anything.
I like doing our podcast outside, but
it's made you so peaceful that you haven't.
Yeah, I have. I feel so at peace right now.
So chill.
I have been in a park for 3 hours and I've never been happier. It's just
lovely.
It's just lovely.
I will also say this is not humorous or anything like that either, but like the sun's going to set soon. And when the sun comes back up, Christy and I will have been married for 19 years.
Hey-o!
It's our anniversary tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, everyone, you won't hear this until a few days after.
Yeah, by the time you guys are time shifting. By the time you hear it in the future,
it's too late. Don't say anything to them. It's already too late at that point.
Yeah, we will have already celebrated.
There's no point in any text. There's no point in any presents. Even though they really deserve gifts, there's no point in sending a gift. There's no point in writing them a love note or sending them a gift card so they could go on a date to a specific restaurant.
Well, I think I wouldn't go that far.
Taste of Thai. Like, why would you send them a gift card to Taste of Thai for their anniversary?
Our anniversary will have come and
gone. It would already have come and gone. Why would you send them a $50 gift card to Taste of Thai?
Look, happy us 19 years.
Yeah, 19 years.
Psalm 17. Welcome to Ancient and New. We're going to read a psalm today, the entire thing. And then we're going to ruminate on it. We're both going to talk about the same scripture today.
We haven't done this in a while.
Every now and then. I will say, I did read recently in the scriptures the word Beezer. And I think that Beezer likes it when we do this. Our friend Corey McBee.
He likes a curveball. Also, like, that's just a side effect of us doing a podcast outside is a motorcycle going by. But anytime I, like, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to talk about a Bezoar or whatever they were
from
Harry Potter.
From Harry Potter?
Like the cud from a goat belly.
It's a stone. A stone. The stomach of a goat.
Yeah.
That's after a goat has eaten a cheesy crunch burrito from Taco Bell.
Ooh, yikes. I don't eat Taco Bell. I just buy it for at least kids and they don't eat it. Yeah.
Psalm 17. Hear me, Lord. This is a prayer of David.
Read it, please.
Hear me, Lord. My plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people tried to bribe me, I've kept myself from the ways of the violent. Through what your lips have commanded, my steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me, they close up their callous hearts and their mouths speak with arrogance. They've tracked me down. Now they now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such people, Lord. From those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Wow. It was a lot.
It was a lot. I think that's so cool. I love every part of this. I think, like, a few things stood out to me super quickly, which I don't know if you were asking me to start, but I
please do
went ahead and did. First of all, I like hearing that David is kind of arguing for himself at the beginning of this.
Yeah.
It gives me there are times when I don't need to do that. It's just I don't need to do anything but to just say, Jesus, I have messed up. I deserve nothing from you, which is always true actually. I don't deserve anything from the Lord. I do like though that he has the, like, you know, he's asking the Lord to hear his prayer because he's saying, at the bare minimum, I'm honest. You know, I'm not being deceitful to you. Like, I'm telling you the truth, which, like, that's good for me to hear because it may never be appropriate for me to tell the Lord that I deserve something.
It
probably isn't ever. It's probably never appropriate for me to tell him I'm awesome, so you should give me something. Mm-hmm. But at least David is saying, like, hey, the only thing I can offer you is that this is the cry of my heart, and there is nothing deceitful behind it. I'm not trying to trick anything out of you. I'm not trying to, you know, weasel something out of you. I am telling you the bare bones truth of what's going on in me. And then later on, he says, by your hand, save me from such people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. And I just was chewing on the idea of, the idea of like this world being it, and for some people that's the case.
Yeah,
you know, like,
oh, dude, that's so good.
It would make me so sad.
Those whose reward is this life.
I don't like. I was just. I was taken aback by the thought that like, if this was it, I wouldn't get out of bed anymore. You know, like,
even though we are in this beautiful golden hour moment in a public park,
but even this, it's gonna go away.
Yeah,
and it's not as awesome as it could be, and it's pretty awesome for like.
And like you set some Taco Bell down, and ants are gonna take it over immediately.
Yeah, there's evidence. Like I'm getting lit up by mosquitoes, even in the middle of this amazement. There are like blood curdling screams going on around us. Like there, it's just like. But
nobody knows when this chow chow is going to turn on us.
This is maybe the snarkiest episode we've ever done, dating back to the beginning of it. But just the idea that like, if this were what I were living for,
dude, especially during coronavirus.
Oh my word! Like, I'm a dreamer. I like to dream big, and I like to think of big things, and I like to make big plans. Like the amount of times during the week where I will tell Maddie like, hey, let's go here, let's go do this thing, and you know, it's like we have all these ideas of places we're going to travel, and they're going to be awesome, and it's going to be so fun, and after we do it, it's going to be fun, we're going to have amazing memories of it, and we're going to laugh of it, and we are going to have stories that last forever. And I still am so excited that, you know, I can do those things with my wife, who I love. And we're going to go to cool places together. And we're going to sit in sunsets like this together forever. But I'm still so freaking thankful that this world is going to be over one day. You know, it's like somehow those things exist together.
Yeah.
And I hope that came from a point. People listening, I hope they weren't like, what is he about to say? This is not going to go well. I hope it comes from a standpoint of like, man, this place, like, even though there's amazing things about it, I'm so glad my reward is not here, you know?
Absolutely.
And then one more thing just stood out to me, and I'm hoping, I know you like this bit too, but I'm going to go a different way, I think. And it's at the very end. He says, as for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Mm. And I don't know if this is what he meant, but that last thing where he said, when I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. I don't know if David was about to go to sleep, but for some reason when I read that, I thought of him talking about death right there. And just the idea of it being like, we're waking up one day in a place where you get to see the likeness of God, and you would be, you know, vindicated and will see his face. I just love the idea of it. You know, like yawning and stretching and here I am with Jesus. Yeah. I don't know if that's what that's going to be like. I don't think it is. And it's probably a bit of a theological gray area that I'm even saying that. But it did comfort me just to the idea that one day I am going to see Jesus's face, and it's going to be sweet and inviting, and I have a feeling it's not going to be like seeing an old friend. It's not going to be like seeing someone you haven't seen in a long time. I think that thought can easily be in our heads. Like,
yeah.
But I think it's just going to be like I've known you this whole time, and you've known me, you know, since I've known you.
That's good.
And you have known me forever, and we are just best friends, picking right up.
I love
that. I long for that. This whole psalm is drawing out my desire for heaven, and it's like prodding me in a good direction, not in a morbid, like, because I think when people can talk about death and heaven, it can sound gloomy, and it should never. When people, it's pushing me.
It's not a death wish kind of thing.
No, it's more of a like. I don't know how to describe it except for I'm just excited for it. I'm just excited to be with Jesus. I'm excited for tomorrow morning when I wake up and I have my quiet time with him.
And I am,
yeah,
but I am super, super excited to, I don't know. I have an image of running into his open arms and hugging him. I think more than likely I'm just going to fall on my face and cry and
you know,
laugh and everything.
You know what's funny about that is like, I like knowing you, and this is like super inside baseball for listeners, 'cause it's just me and you talking about our friendship, but like, I think you're going to laugh. I think you're going to start laughing so much. I don't think that you're going to fall down. Like, maybe you will, because yeah, maybe that's what everybody does. But like, when I right, picture that moment, I just picture you like just laughing hysterically, just like the world and all its troubles are over.
Yeah.
And just like seeing Jesus and knowing like, I've known you this whole time. You have been with me every single moment. Like, everything is now hilarious.
Yeah. I think like it's so funny that you say that, because this is super inside baseball, because this is only a thought I've ever had to myself and to God. So he may not even want me to share this, but whatever. He does. It's because it's so far fetched and it's so silly that he's probably laughing about it. But there's that thing at the end of the Return of the King movie where Frodo's in the bed and he wakes up. And then everyone just runs in, and I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie in so long.
It's kind of bouncing on the bed.
They're bouncing
on
the bed. They're laughing. The light is, I don't know. It's just like all the things about it. And
Frodo's just like in slow motion.
Yeah, it's slow motion. That's what it is. Yeah. Like the whole thing.
Because he doesn't know. People come in back. Yeah.
One after another. Yeah, yeah. And they're just laughing and being silly. I've had that thought for a while, which is so funny.
That's good.
It's such a silly. That was such a behind the scenes moment right there that people just kind
of, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm just like nah, you're just gonna be laughing.
Yeah,
there's a in verse 7 it says, show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings. And like, I don't even know what the phrase apple of your eye means. Like, literally, I don't know where we got that.
We all know what it means, but we right, don't know what it is.
Yes. I don't know where it came from. I mean, like in the Hebrew, it's the word pupil, or the, like okay, the middle of your eye, like keep me at the center of like what you're looking at. And like, I mean, I know what the apple of your eye means. Like, I mean, what it means is like if you're the apple of my eye, it's like, you're the one I delight in. You're the one I adore. You're the one I love. Like it's like the thing that I think about when I read this verse is like, it's like the Father, our Abba, like he like carries pictures of me in his wallet. Like when you have a baby and then people see you, you go back to the office or whatever, and they're like, show us pictures. And you like pull out your cell phone, you go to your camera roll, and you've got pictures of your baby. You know, you post on your Instagram the pictures that you're most proud of your girl, you know, of like just the apple of your eye, you know. And it's like the idea that like, you know, that like if Jesus had a smartphone, like I'm in that album on his camera roll that like he shows his friends, like look at what my son did the other day. Like there's something so tender about that. The idea that like if I went to his house, he would have my picture on the wall. Like he's proud of me. He likes me.
That's so cool.
Like this is just one of those moments in scripture, and it makes me emotional, like where like the Lord says something so generous that I wouldn't dare to say about myself unless he had said it. You said it earlier when you said like, I don't deserve anything from the Lord. Like I don't, you know, like I like that David's sticking up for himself, and I like that, you know, I want to have that vibe, but like, I don't deserve anything from the Lord. But like the idea, like, but he says things about me that are more generous and more tender than the things that I would hope in my greatest heart that he would feel about me.
Right.
And the idea that he's like carrying pictures in his wallet of me, that I'm on his camera roll. I'm the person that he posts. My picture's on his wall at his house. So sweet. There's a, I'm reading a devotional book this year that that somebody compiled together like into daily readings from a Catholic priest named Henry Nouwen. A lot of people probably know who that is. Some people might not. And they're just really, it's just like a bunch of sweet collected paragraphs that he wrote. And in a recent page in that book, he wrote about this idea of having a hermitage, like a private hermitage. For those who don't know what that word means, it's like when you think about a hermit, somebody who does not go out into public, somebody who stays locked up in their own little world. They don't leave their house. They have everything provided for. They don't hang out with anybody publicly. Like everything in their world is private. That's a hermit. And like the house where they live, where they stay, is their hermitage. They don't need anybody else. That's just their little place. Mm. And what Henry Nouwen says is, like, as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, you should cultivate a hermitage. And what he means by that is, like, a simple prayer from the scriptures that's like a phrase or a line. And like, even in the busyness of your day, in the middle of a struggle, in the middle of a temptation, in the middle of a conference room where you're having a meeting you don't want to be in, like, that you could disappear into your hermitage, into your fortress of solitude with Jesus. And the password is that phrase, that word, that thing. And like this thing, this phrase from verse 8 in Psalm 17, for me feels like a password into my hermitage. Mm. It's like no matter where I am, I feel like I could carry this as like a key card, like keep me as the apple of your eye. And like in a crowded room, in a grocery store, in a difficult conversation, in a moment of temptation, that I could say that phrase in my brain and in my heart, keep me as the apple of your eye. And boom, I'm in my hermitage. I'm in my little fortress where it's just me and Jesus. And like my picture's on the wall and he's proud of me and he likes me. And like for anybody that's listening to this, like, maybe you get a different password for your hermitage, but like, why don't you try that today? Like, why don't you grab a verse or a phrase or like some little truth about the free and the good gospel and just like, let it be the passkey into your hermitage, into your moment of solitude with Jesus, even in a crowded room, even in the middle of a difficult, you're having a fight with a friend, whatever the thing is, and bam, you just pull the pass key out and the door slides open and you go into your hermitage and it's just you and the Lord who loves you.
That's so cool. That's so funny because I don't want to claim that I have thought that before, but I often find myself thinking of part B of verse 8, you know, hiding in the shadow of his wings.
Yes.
I think that one so much. That's so cool that they're right there together. I think mine... Yeah, I think that's such a great idea, you know? I have like a little melody that I wrote that I sing with it.
Wow.
Which is so funny.
In the wings thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, you're going to have to like make it into a song or something.
Oh, I have already. Yeah, it's fine.
It's just private?
Yeah.
Nobody else gets the song?
No.
Well, I mean like now we all want to hear the song.
It's fine.
No. If you would like to hear the song, then just tweet at Lee Younger or at Tom H. Cox.
Do people tweet still?
People tweet, dude.
I say that as a man who scrolls Twitter multiple times a day. I haven't actually.
You can DM me on Instagram.
I retweet SpongeBob probably once every 3 weeks.
Dude, I finally watched that one where Sandy is hibernating.
And that's so funny.
It's amazing. They don't realize it's her. They just think it's like some hulky monster.
It's so funny because my childhood best friend and I, we had a little, what did you call the apple of your eye thing?
A hermitage?
Yeah, we had a hermitage from that episode that we did all the time. And it's the moment where SpongeBob's in the bottom of the crater and Sandy is like leaning over the edge like, and then Patrick pops up beside her right before SpongeBob throws a wooden board at a 2x4 at her, and he says, "Did you win?" Because they're in the fight, and it hits Patrick in the face, and then he rolls down the hill and goes, and then he goes, "Hi, SpongeBob." That's my best friend and I as a kid. We always go, "Did you win?"
That is so wonderful. That's so amazing.
That is so funny.
That's so fun. Yeah, I would encourage you to lean into that. The idea of like, I'm gonna cultivate a private place where it's just me and Jesus, and like, and I'm going to find a phrase, or I'm going to find a word, or I'm going to find a prayer that takes me into that room.
That's such a cool idea, man.
And like, in just an unexpected moment when I need it, I'm going to disappear. Maybe I, technically stay in the meeting. Maybe I technically stay in the conversation, but like there's another layer, there's another level where my brain and my heart are like, I'm just sitting down beside Jesus.
I love that. I love the idea though of that, because it's just a cool thing about Jesus that like, if this phrase I'm about to say was heard by the wrong people or the wrong person, it could just get, you know, turned into a dumpster fire on me. But like the idea of having a secret friend in Jesus is such a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, like you're saying in the middle of a meeting, just like having inside jokes and like,
oh yeah,
you know, little conversations that are going on in your head and in your heart with him. It's so cool. But like, you know, you said it to the wrong person and it's like, oh. Jesus is your secret friend.
Oh, you have an imaginary friend.
Oh, cool. You know, like whatever. But I love that. That is a thing that I feel like I have, you know, it's awesome.
It's good. This episode was brought to you by Corey McBee / Beezer.
Yes. Yeah.
And apparently by Matthew Foxworth.
It was. I'm so glad you knew who that was.
of course. We
had so many laughs like that. If I called him right now and did that, he would know exactly what I was doing. Hush, hush, hush.
We have to have a big special shout out to our friend Nick Waraxa, who got married this weekend.
Yes. Happy wedding, Nick.
Way to go, man. And a big shout out to me and Christy.
And Devin Rodriguez.
That's right. Devin Rodriguez last weekend. Yeah. And then Jake Livengood and Nina Reed this coming up weekend.
Summer of love.
And as Christy and I celebrate our 19th.
Don't send them anything.
We don't need anything.
You would already be too late anyway.
You would be
anyway.
Too late.
Why would you do such a
thing? Why would you send us a gift card to Starbucks
Cafe? Are we exploiting people on our podcast? Our free medium?
We love you guys.
Thanks.
I'm Thomas.
I froze up.
I didn't know what to do.
I'm
Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Wondrous beauty I see, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died,
to pardon and sanctify me. So I will cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I will cling to the old rugged cross